the book of Jonah. I want to talk about crybaby preachers. Isn't that a switch? Crybaby preachers. You know, there's plenty of us around. Yeah, there's plenty of crybaby preachers. I am going to start out in chapter 3 so you guys can turn there. And we'll be going to, so keep your Bibles open today because we're going to go right through the story of Jonah. Look how long we have spent teaching our children that story. We've taken time to show them what happens when God spoke to Jonah and how did he said, go to Nineveh, do this. And we remember what Jonah did. You know, he whined about it, said, jump, go grab a ticket and heads off to Tarshish. Well, you know, if you discovered historical geography, Tarshish was about just as far the other way that you could go across the Mediterranean Sea than it was to go over to Nineveh. But that didn't make any difference. I guess that Jonah had figured out in his own mind that, hey, I'm going to take a hike. I want to take a big hike. You know, so he took off and he took off to go to the place that he wanted to go to. Now, there's two ways you can look at it. We all know that story. I mean, you know what happens. He gets out. God sends a storm after him. And the storm, all the winds blowing from all the directions. And the boat's tossed and turning and all these things. And Jonah finally confesses. After they had already thrown everything over, now they're going to throw the rest of it. He says, look, I'm the one. God's after me. I did not obey. I'm going here. I'm supposed to go here. And they got down to it. And they said, the only thing you can do is throw me overboard. And you know that they didn't want to do that. The sailors didn't want to do that. So they lightened the load again. But it was such a point that there was no hope. They were all going to die unless they did something. So what did they do? They chunked him. Makes sense to me. You know, you chunk him overboard and see what happens from that. Immediately, a great fish, we like to call it a whale, Jonah and a whale, a great fish swallowed up Jonah. You know, down he went, and the sea was calm. The sailors on the ship were saved. Everything is just fine. That should be the end of the story, but it's not. We realize that that tells what most people know about, okay? We teach our kids these certain things, and we get down to that part where they throw him overboard. He's swallowed by the whale. Then we talk about him getting puked up. Oh. Vomited on the shore after 3 days in the belly of this great fish. And immediately, God says, have you learned anything yet? I mean, have you paid attention to anything? Well, number one, some people would say, well, this mimics the very fact that Jesus was in the tomb this many days. You know, maybe I'm not quick enough for all those things, but you can easily tie in a lot of things out of the Bible. You know, you can make it sound like this is one way and this is one way. I don't know, maybe that's the way God wanted it to be, and you want to make it like the tomb that Jesus was in, and he rose from the dead. Well, I know this, that God sent the fish, the storm was there, Jonah goes into the belly, stays 3 days, 3 days and 3 nights, gets puked out, thrown up on the shore. I love that word for some reason. I don't know what's wrong with me. But anyway, he's vomited up on the shore, and immediately God gives him a word. Like, hi, how are you doing now? You feel better about this? Yeah. Some of you have never been there before, have you? Have you ever been to a place that you run from God? You just did exactly opposite of what God said to do? You decided in your own heart. You know what was interesting about that? This is why I want to continue the story. Is because this was the reasoning that I truly believe Jonah had. And you can find that in the fourth chapter, in the second verse. And I'm going to back up from there, so just hang in. Just stay with me for a little bit. But he makes a statement. And I prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled from Tarshish. I knew that thou wert a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. You know what that's like saying? You wouldn't dare hit a man that's wearing glasses. What a bet. I bet I would. If you needed it, that's what you'd get. He was saying to God, why did I do what I did? Why did I flee? Why did I go to town? Because you're so wonderful, God. You're so gracious, so kind. You're so merciful. I've never heard an excuse quite like that one. But it was a good one. I mean, you know, he pulled it out and that's what he played. That was his hand. He's going to stick by these guns right there. He said, I know you're slow to anger. You're all of these wonderful things. Your great kindness. Now, would God be mad at anybody that just complimented him that much? Have you ever been upset with somebody? Even if they complimented you that much, even though you had a reason to be mad. Jonah said, oh, God, this is the reason I did it. This is the only reason I did it, because I knew how wonderful you were. Now, what a great reason that would be. They treat you like dirt, does anything exactly opposite, but because you're so wonderful, that's my excuse, that I'm going to continue to do what I want to do. Well, let's back up a little bit. Go back to chapter 3, to the first verse. And in chapter 3, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. You know, God makes it very clear what he wants you to do. It's not a guessing game. If you ever have a doubt about it, there'll be something that wells up within your spirit that'll say, don't do that. But when he wants you to do something, you'll have a peace about what he wants you to do. So he came to Jonah the second time, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. He said, preacher, don't tell them what you want to tell them. You tell them what I'm saying to them. You pass on my message to them. I'm not interested in you telling them how great they are. I'm not interested in telling how wonderful they could be and all these things. I'm not going to say how much money you can make if you'll just send me your tax dollars. Not the government, to me. Jonah was going to do all those things, and God said to him once again, now have I got your attention? You know, it takes a lot to get a preacher's attention at times. We whine. We gripe about it. You know, you said, that's just part of it. Well, it is if you're a preacher. You get upset about people. Yeah, situations. There are times you want to say, I tell you to get over it. You know how many times God told me to get over it? Where do you think I got that from? Because he's had to tell me that many times. Just get over it. I feel like there have been times that I've been in the belly of a fish. I think I've disobeyed, and God said, this is what I'm going to do. He said, but now I'm giving you a second chance. Now, you're out on the shore, puked up, seaweed in your hair, everything that you want, stinking like a fish. Oh, that would be lovely. And you go and preach. What did he want him to preach? He wanted them to preach and tell Nineveh, if you don't repent, in 40 days, it's all over. In 40 days, life as you know it today is no longer going to be the way that it is. Do you think that's a message that Jonah wants to preach? No, the message that Jonah wants to preach is, I'm going to go tell them that, but I can hardly wait till 40 days passes so you get toasted. You see what I had to go through? You see how much suffering I had to do? I had to suffer all of this time just to deliver this message. I had to be in that fish's belly all this time, and look what I went through all this time. Do you ever offer something to some people? Do you ever tell people about your problems all the time? About how terrible it is for you? And all the time God's saying, get off your duff, go to Nineveh, and this is what I want you to say to them. You know the beauty that Noah, at least Jonah, had in his life? He didn't tarry. He didn't sit around at the donut shop with the buddies. He got up and he went and did what God said to do. He said, he preached the message 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What took place? This is what we leave out a lot of times. We get it to this point, he went and delivered. The greatest revival that's ever recorded in the Word of God took place. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
The greatest revival that ever took place in the Word of God that we have recorded in this Word took place right here at Nineveh. What did they do? They repented. They were in sackcloth and ashes. From the king all the way down to the least, to the greatest, they did exactly what they were told when they heard the message from God. I tell you what, he must have got his attention pretty good. Because Jonah must have preached a strong message to say, you either repent or this is what's going to happen, because they took him at his word. And what did they do? They trusted into God's mercy. Everything that he says at the beginning of the fourth chapter, those people could say, we didn't do this, we were heathen, we did all of these things, but aren't we glad to know that you are a God of patience, long-suffering, you're a God of mercy, you're a God of grace, you're all those things. Did he deserve to toast everybody? Yeah, he did. If it's ever brought up before God how bad we are, that must be pretty bad. Because I know a lot of bad people. I know a lot of bad situations. But they probably weren't brought up before God like that. Did he send one preacher to address that situation? But here, he's addressing the situation. But the preacher whined about it. Because the result became a great revival. You imagine if you were a preacher and you preached the greatest message, you know, it wasn't your message, and it never is your message when God moves. It's just what God has to say. They changed. Their lives changed. Everything about them was different, except for the preacher. He's mad. He's pouting. He's a whiner. He's a crybaby preacher because they didn't do. God went ahead and forgave them. You ever had that kind of feelings towards people? Yeah, you have. What happens if God said to you, you get mad at somebody, and all of a sudden you meet that person, you're fuming, you're all these things, and they come back to you and they said, God forgave me, please forgive me, I was wrong. And you said, no, I'm not going to forgive you. Or you may tell them, you may get all spiritual and say, everything's fine, don't worry about it, but in the back of your mind, you're still grumbling about it. Yeah, because what they did was terrible in your estimation. And so you hang on to that, just like we have right here with Jonah. He hung on to the very fact that he didn't want to go to Nineveh in the first place. He wanted to go to Tarshish to get away from the call, but he ended up back over there again. But the Bible says it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He was angry that they repented. He was wanting to see God give them the reward. Many times we get mad. We want to do something to that person. We want to make it happen. What does God say to us? Vengeance is mine. I shall repay. Don't you always want to be the guy that helps out? I've been there. I want to help God out. God, I think I can have a great way of doing it. Let me run this by you. What does he say? Leave it alone. Don't do this. Don't go there. He was so mad that he wanted God to kill him. I've never been that mad. Well, I've been mad before, but I've never been that mad. I don't want God to kill me because they got right with God. But that's where he was. It says there in the second verse, it says, and now he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying that when I yet in my country, therefore I fled unto Tarshish, I'm running off. I'm going away from everything. Have you ever been that upset? Have you ever wanted to kill somebody? Oh, you said, no, I would never do that. In your heart, you have, haven't you? You know, you guys are acting awfully spiritual today. I know better. I really do. I know better than that because I know you. I know that that's the way it is. God saved an entire city. He saved this entire city, everything that and then his pouting preacher is out there. He goes out and sits on the top of a hill. My grandfather used to say he was out there on Puckering Limb. He said his lip got up so far that if he stays out there, a bird's going to come and do its business on it. You don't get that, do you?
Oh, I got it.
You know, I've watched some people here. Their lip got out so far. Their pout was so big that I was just waiting for a bird to come drop its load right on their lip. I've been there. I've been upset with things. I've done things that, you know, that I wish that I would not have done. But it's what we do. And we really need to go right back, and we need to remember that God said, I am gracious, I'm long-suffering, I will forgive, I will do all those things. Do you deserve it? No, you don't. You may say it on the outside that I forgive, but do you say it on the inside? Do you tell them that I really, truly forgive? Or do I harbor those very things that are within me? Do you harbor them enough? And this is the lesson that comes to us at this point. He goes up and builds his little shack. You know, he's got him a little lean-to up on top of the hill. Sun's still beating down. It's really hot. He's up there. And what is he saying? Watch that church. It's going to fail. I've had preachers leave churches before, and that's what they prayed for, that the church would fail. After my great leadership was gone, I hope the church fails. All this stuff, that's where we have right here. That's what Jonah's doing. He's up there praying. God said, I'm going to make it even nicer for him. So he grows up a gourd, a plant, and it grows up so, and that the leaves were so big and it overshadowed his little lean-to, and I said, oh, God loves me, and he gave me relief. But you know, he didn't learn enough in the belly of the fish, so God said, I'm going to make a worm. And over the night, the worm crawls into the plant, into that gourd, and the next thing you know, his plant is shriveling all up. And now how mad is he? Once again, he watches people that are happy. They don't know that he's up there on a hill pouting about it. They don't realize he's whining about it. All they're doing down there rejoicing that they found the Lord, that God has forgiven them, that everything's great in their lives, all these things. But the preacher's pouting. He's whining about it. I think there's a lot of preachers here today. I think it's something that is so true for every one of us. You go on and read, continue to read the passages right there. Let's go over to verse number 3. It's right here. So Jonah rose and went to, fourth chapter, number 3. He says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it had been better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? Are you kidding me? I can't believe you're angry. All these people just got saved. You were the focus that I used to make this come to pass, and you're angry about it? So Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city, where he made the booth, and he did all these things. He's in the shadow and all these things. And God says, and you're mad? Are you gracious about it? Have you ever analyzed your anger? Have you? Have you ever spent time to look at why you were mad about a situation? What it was in your life that got you to the point that you were so angry that you just wanted to die? I want to kill people. I never wanted to die myself, but I mean, this guy had it bad. I mean, he was pouting as big as you could probably get. He was going to do anything to spite these people, even though God had forgiven these people. He came to the point that he almost fainted. He came to the point that he was ready to die, but God wasn't ready for him to die. He wasn't ready for him to do any of those things. And God said unto Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? Do you remember the interplay there when the gourd grew up and the worm came and ate the gourd? Do you remember how he whined about that? Because it's almost like he was in love with the gourd. No, really, seriously. He was in love with that plant, but a worm ate it. So that's one more reason to be mad. Have you ever been at that point in life? To the point that you come to place and you go, I've pouted about it. I've let everybody else know about how bad it is for me, but nobody feels bad for me. Here's the spiritual people out here today. That's never happened to you. I guess you ought to become a preacher. Because it's happened to me. There's a payoff here. Jonah survives a fish. Jonah survives the preaching of the word. Jonah survives all of these things. But the one thing he could not survive was his own attitude. He is the one that needs to be on his knees before God and repenting. It's not the other person. They did. They got it right. But it's a terrible thing when the preacher doesn't get it right. And it's a terrible thing when deacons don't get it right. It's a terrible thing when an elder doesn't get it right. It's a terrible thing when a Sunday school superintendent can't get it right. It's a terrible thing when any kind of a Bible teacher can't get it right. You see, all of those things, you put these people up here, well, I can promise you this, they're nothing but right down here with everybody else. That's where preachers are. That's where everybody, you got a title, well, I'm happy for you. Tell me about your title and I'll, you know, go along with you on that title. But I can tell you this, while you're out there on Pucker and Limb in Pout City, there are other people rejoicing. While you're upset about it didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen, or they didn't treat you the way you wanted them, they're over there rejoicing. They've got the victory. Everything is great because they did business with God. Why do we not want to do business with God? Why do we not want to spend the time? I know plenty of people that get upset, they get mad about it. But then when they come to church, if the Spirit of God is going to move, then everybody needs to make sure he's not quenched. Right. You know how many times I've sat here and watched people that if looks could kill, I'd be dead already? Aren't you lucky? You got me. But it is what we do. What did he do? He said, I'm going to run out. I'm never coming back. I'm not going to serve you. That's not God's way. That's man's way. I'll show them. Did he show them? No, he didn't show them. God showed them with his love and his mercy. But every time, God says, I will bring to pass whatever it is I want to bring to pass. And what is God wanting to do? Bring his love to pass in our lives. Our forgiveness. All the things that he has made for us. How many times have we thought, well, I know it's going to fail. At least I hope it fails. You ever prayed that prayer? No. They only pray that down at First Baptist. How much do you love the Lord? Do you love him enough to let other people love him also? Or do you have to be the only special one? All of us have bad days. All of us have days that we think people do things against us. If you had reality check, they didn't do anything. How many times have I had to hear, who told you what I did? I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, you were preaching to me or preaching at me. I said, well, just don't, you know, pat yourself on the back. You know, I wasn't preaching at you. I didn't know anything that you did. But now that you're confessing it, you want to go ahead and confess the whole thing? You don't want to just lay it all out and get right with God? Or do you want to hang on to it and be a grump and a powder and a crybaby preacher? Why would I bring this to you today? Because I believe that God would want for us to have a revival like Nineveh. I think God would want us to be involved in something greater than ourselves. And I think God would want us to look at situations that bug us, that makes it bad for me, but we take it to him, we win the victory, it's all great, but you want them to win the victory at all cost. Have you ever been to the place that I'm willing to be wrong if it makes them right? Or are you so worried about how you were offended? Jonah is a great example. He's a great example of things you just don't want to be. That's right. I'm sure that he was a great person at one time. And I'm sure that even though I don't get to it before the end of the book, I'm sure that he got his heart right with God and made all those things the way they should have been. But Jonah had to learn like you have to learn, like I have to learn. God is interested in everybody. He's interested in the person that ticked you off, just as much as interested in you. He's interested in you enough, like a Jonah, that made all of those things. I know you're this, and I know you're this, how kind and gracious and all those kind of things. He knew God well enough, but he still disobeyed. Why don't we give people, cut them some slack, because they don't know God like we know God, but we still want them to get it right, in spite of whether we're right or not. How much do you know of God? I know him enough this way. If he brings the light, I best get it right. When he shines the light on my issues, upon my name, while there's thousands of those unsaved people out there that never heard the word of Christ, and all they've got to look at is pouting people, or are they going to look at someone that has won the victory? Are they going to look at our lives that claim so much, that come to church all the time? Are they going to look at us and say, you've had a hard time, but you come out smiling and rejoicing because God is so great and he's so good to you and he does all of these wonderful things for you? Have you forgotten that? Have you forgotten what God wants to do? I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Can we do the same thing for those that cross our paths or tick us off? I think God wants everybody to get it right. But I know this, God's not going to let somebody die and go to hell just because you're mad at them. God's not going to let something fail because we have an attitude. That's not how God works. God's going to love people in spite of our attitudes. God's going to love them in spite of being a whiny preacher. And he's going to make a difference in their lives. What do we get from Jonah? Well, I get a great message. I get the message that he sent to me is simply that, is that he loved those people in Nineveh so much, he was willing to put that one prophet, that one preacher, through what he went through, the ordeal, to win those people to Christ. He was willing to do that. He must have loved Jonah a lot, too. He loved him so much, he was willing to give him a second chance. He loved him so much, he's willing to give him a third chance. He loved us enough that he's given us third, fourth, and fifth, and as many chances as we've ever needed. So what am I asking you today? I'm asking you to stop and think how much God loves you and how many opportunities he's given you to make it right with him. In spite of what you think you deserve, you're not going to hell today. They may want you to go there, but you're not going there. God wants every one of us to find his love, get past our little feelings, and rejoice in what he's doing in the lives of people all around us. We can be the source of help, or we can be the source that hinders. So which one do we want to be today? You want to be a pouting preacher? Crybaby? Or do you want to be the source that God uses to win others to Christ? I hope that we are all that day. Don't neglect what God has already put into your heart. You know how he is. You know how much he loves us. You know everything about him. You know all those things. And he knew it, just like we know it. But we not only not know it in here and in here, but we need to express it out here. That's what people are looking for. Is your faith real? Is it really what I have, or am I just a crybaby? Let's pray.